Do any of my young readers think, when they go to take a boat ride and are carried along almost as fast as a bird would fly over the waters, in the great, fast-moving steamboats, that it is not yet 100 years since the first successful steamboat was floated on the water? Would you not like to know something about the man who made it? Now, little buddies, I pause here because, remember, we're reading a book here written in the 1890s. It's actually been now over 200 years since the steamboat was invented. And we have lots and lots of different kinds of boats and other vehicles that will take us much faster than most birds fly. Back to the reading. I shall be very glad to tell you this story, for he was one of our own countrymen, and we feel proud of him as we do of Franklin, who invented the lightning rod, and Morse, who invented the telegraph, and Bell, who made the telephone, and Edison, who invented the phonograph, and many other famous Americans who have discovered and made such wonderful things for the benefit of the world. We like to tell the great deeds they have done for the benefit of mankind. I shall have to commence by telling you again of a very poor boy. His name was Robert Fulton. He was born in the state of Pennsylvania in 1765. His father was an Irishman who had moved to the New World and was a tailor, that is, he made clothes for other people. I shall have to tell you the truth and say that Robert was not fond of books when he was a boy. But he liked to be always making things. He can make lead pencils, and he could also make skyrockets for his and his friends' 4th of July celebration. Everything that the boy looked at in the way of a machine, he wondered if he could not make it better. He was given but very little education, first because he did not like to study books, and second because his parents were so poor that he had to go to work very young. They put him with a jeweler to learn the trade of watchmaking. But he soon began to use his extra time in drawing pictures and painting. He also learned to make portraits of people which looked very much like them. You know, they could not take photographs in those days. And he sold portraits and pictures of landscapes to get money, which he carefully put away. This boy also loved various kinds of sports. He was particularly fond of fishing, and he used to go out with the boys in an old flat boat which they pushed along the river with a pole. This was very laborious work. So Robert showed them how to make two paddle wheels, one on each side of the boat, which they hung by cranks over the sides, and by turning the cranks, as a boy would turn a grindstone, the paddles went around in the water and pushed the boat along. This was great fun, and it set Robert thinking and wondering why such wheels might not be put on big boats to push them when there was not enough wind for the sails. The one trouble about this was that such big wheels would be required. They could not get men enough around the cranks to turn them in the water. Still, Robert kept thinking about it, and after a while you will see how valuable this thought was to him. All this time, Robert Fulton kept painting pictures and selling them. He wanted very much to be a great artist like Benjamin West, who, he learned, had commenced in America, but had now grown to be such a great artist that he was living in London, getting lots of money for his pictures. In the meantime, Robert's father died, and he was left to support his widowed mother. By the time he was 21 years of age, he had earned enough money to buy a little farm for his mother so she could keep cows, have a garden, and raise chickens, turkeys, and other fowls to sell. Then, with his mother's consent, he took the balance of his money and sailed away to Europe to study art. A large part of his time he spent with the famous artist Benjamin West in London and became a good painter. But all the time his mind kept running on inventions, and he made a number of new machines. Among other things was a little boat which he could make run under water. He intended it to blow up war vessels, but somehow the people did not think it of any use. About this time he began to be interested in the steam engine, which was invented by James Watt, a young Scotchman, a good many years before. He became one of the greatest bankers in the world. It was not long after Mr. Peabody went to Baltimore before he was, as he had been everywhere else, noted for his good judgment, his politeness, and his kindness to everybody. His character was so good that the legislature of Maryland made his bank the financial agent of the state. That is, Riggs and Peabody had charge of all the state's money, and when the state wanted to borrow or lend money, it was done through Mr. Peabody. The firm of Riggs and Peabody grew so fast that in 1822 they had to establish branches in Philadelphia and New York, so that Mr. Peabody divided his time between their headquarters in Baltimore and the branch stores in the two other cities. In a few years, their business with England became so great that he had to make trips across the ocean. He went for the first time in 1827, and for the next 10 years he crossed back and forth two or three times almost every year. In 1829, Mr. Riggs, being rather an old man, concluded to withdraw from the firm and relieve himself from the business cares. He therefore took out a very large sum of money, several times as great as the sum he put in, and still left a considerable sum belonging to him in the business. The name of the firm was then changed from Riggs and Peabody to Peabody, Riggs and Company. In 1836, Mr. Peabody found it was necessary for him to have a branch house in London, as he was kept so much of his time on the ocean going back and forth, and he had to buy almost all the fine goods used in this country in London, because we were not then...